Tiv, thought Jeremy, who was admittedly no judge whatsoever, but it was a monochromatic beauty. He wondered if she was a zombie. There were quite a few in the city now, and the prudent ones had taken it with them when they died, and probably could afford a coat like that. "A beetle clock," she said. She had turned away from the glass dome. Yes, the Shebian lawyer beetle has a very consistent daily routine," said Jeremy. "I only keep it for interest." "How very organic," said the woman. She extended a black-gloved hand palm down. "We are Myria Lejeune, Lady Myria Lejeune." Jeremy obediently held out a hand. Patient men at the Clockmakers' Guild had spent a long time teaching him how to relate to people before giving it up in despair, but some things had stuck. Her ladyship looked at the waiting hand. Finally, one of the trolls lumbered over.
"The lady does not shake hands," it said in a reverberating whisper. "She are not a tactile kind of person."
"Oh," said Jeremy. "But enough of this, perhaps," said Lady Lejeune, stepping back. "You make clocks, and we..." There was a jingling noise from Jeremy's shirt pocket. He pulled out a large watch. "If that was chiming the hour, you are fast," said the woman.
No, you might find it a good idea to, put your hands over your ear."
It was 3 o'clock, and every clock struck it at once. Cuckoos cuckooed, the hour pins fell out of the candle clock, the water clocks gurgled and seesawed as the buckets emptied, bells clanged, gongs banged, chimes tinkled, and the Hershebian lawyer beetle turned a somersault. The trolls had clapped their huge hands over their ears, but Lady Lejeune merely stood with her hands on her hips, head on one side, until the last echo died away.
"All correct, we see," she said.
"What?" said Jeremy. He'd been thinking, perhaps a vampire then.
"You keep all your clocks at the right time," said Lady Lejeune. "You're very particular about that, Mr. Jeremy. A clock that doesn't tell the right time is wrong," said Jeremy.
Now he was wishing she'd go away. Her eyes were worrying him. He'd heard about people having grey eyes, and her eyes were grey, like the eyes of a blind person, but she was clearly looking at him and through him.
"Yes, there was a little bit of trouble over that, wasn't there?" said Lady Lejeune.
I don't know what you're..."
"At the Clockmaker's Guild? Williamson, who kept his clock 5 minutes fast? And you..."
"I'm much better now," said Jeremy stiffly. "I have medicine. The guild was very kind. Now, please, go away."
"Mr. Jeremy, we want you to build us a clock that is accurate."
"All my clocks are accurate," said Jeremy, staring at his feet. He wasn't due to take his medicine for another 5 hours and 17 minutes, but he was feeling the need for it now. "And now, I must ask, how accurate are your clocks?"
"Better than a second in 11 months, said Jeremy promptly.
"That is very good."
Yes, it had been very good. That was why the guild had been so understanding. Genius is always allowed some leeway, once the hammer has been pried from its hands and the blood has been cleaned up.
"We want much better accuracy than that."
"It can't be done."
"Oh, you mean that you can't do it?"
"No, I can't. And if I can't, then neither can any other clockmaker in the city. I'd know about it if they could."
"So proud, are you sure?"
"I'd know."
And he would. He'd know for certain. The candle clocks and the water clocks, they were toys, which he kept out of a sort of respect for the early days of timekeeping, and even then he'd spent weeks experimenting with waxes and buckets and had turned out primitive clocks that you could, well, very nearly set your watch by. It was okay that they couldn't be that accurate. They were simple, organic things, parodies of time. They didn't grind across his nerves. But a real clock